record now. I want to welcome everyone to the Big Book Awakening workshop with Josie and myself, Tyla. Welcome. I'm hoping everyone got their first and second column done as their homework. And tonight I'm going to show you everything we're doing is exactly how Joe and I sponsor. It's exactly the same. If I'm one-on-one, I do it exactly the same. I don't speed it up or slow it down because I want to teach the people I'm taking through the work how to sponsor. So not only are you here to do the work yourself, but one of the most important things that you're here for is to learn how to sponsor. Because if you do it the way we do it, Joe and I have had, and I know Jan sponsors the same way, and so does Kylie, and we've had a lot of success and found it very effective sponsoring this way. So let's do a meditation. And Jan, do you have a Big Book Awakening?
I don't have it on me, actually.
Okay, who's got one? Norma, do you have one? Who's got a Big Book Awakening?
I got one.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay, Marie, would you read the set aside prayer on page 65?
Sure. Yes.
Thank you.
Just got to get there. Page 55. Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. God, please help me face and be rid of the things in myself which have been blocking me from you, other people, and myself. Okay, are we all muted?
Yeah, everyone's muted.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm really glad to be here with you tonight and to go over the first four things in the third column. And Kimberly and Mariana are a week ahead of the group because that way I get to do it with them, and then they also can read some of their examples to you. But I want to go over I have some notes and I want to go over why we're doing this. My experience is that resentment is what I show the world, but I'm really scared inside. But it's not, resentment is not really what's going on inside of me. It talks about on page 64, and it's sometimes good before you get started to go over the ABCs, that I'm alcoholic, addict, I cannot manage my own life. Is that still there for me? And I need to find a power which can manage my life. Because one of the things is that lack of power isn't my dilemma today. I have power in my life. How do we address it with people that, because a lot of times the book is looking at it from a perspective of people, which is correct. That's the way the book should do it. But what happens when I have power in my life, right? And my life's going pretty good. And but like I said, I go through all 12 steps every year, every 2 years. I used to do it every year, about every 2 years now, because I don't always know how the spiritual malady is affecting me. It says on the bottom of 64, when the spiritual malady is overcome, I straighten out mentally and physically. When I overcome something, it means I'm out from under its control. That's what it means when I overcome something. So the spiritual malady is progressive, like alcoholism is. And I need to keep my spiritual growth up the same way, at least ahead of the spiritual malady. And sometimes I don't know always how much the spiritual malady is affecting my life until I get into another process of doing all 12 steps. It isn't often that I write inventory as without doing all 12 steps, because I feel going from step 1, 2, and 3 into inventory opens me up in a way that I don't as easily get opened up when I just go into a 4-step. I will write inventory on from step 10 and 11. If I have a resentment, I will write it, but I don't usually go back and write a big inventory in a 4-step without doing 1, 2, and 3. So I want to read on the bottom of page 64 for a minute. It says, resentment is the number one offender. From it, it destroys more alcoholics than anything else, even alcohol. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. Now, I don't remember anywhere in the book that it talked about a spiritual disease before now. For we have not only been mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. So now they're telling me I'm spiritually sick. What does a spiritually sick disease look like? This is the grandfather of all of it. Right here, spiritually sick, spiritual disease, right? When I'm spiritually sick, I'm angry, I'm lonely, I'm separated, I feel powerless, I feel hopeless, right? And I feel separated from God and my fellows. So we're dealing with a disease of separation. And what separates me? Column 2. Everything that's in that second column is what separates me from you. And what separates me from you separates me from God. Whatever separates me from God's kids separates me from God. And I can understand and deal with a disease of separation. As I go through here, I don't deal with it because I'm going to ask God to be rid of it. And you can be rid of it and it never has to happen again. So when I get to step 5, I'm going to look for what I find is objectionable. And I'll go over this again to God, to my fellows, and to myself. Okay. So we see we have a spiritual disease. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We did all this. We set them on paper. So this is like a checklist. Did we set them on paper? Yes, we did. Did we look at principles, institutions, self-defeating beliefs and people? Yes, we did. We asked ourselves why we were angry, the cause. Yes, we did that also. In most cases, it was found that, this is a third column. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambition, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. The only time I'm mad at you is when I'm hurt or threatened. When you hurt or threaten something you're going to take from me or something you're not going to give me. So we were sore. We were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with? Now, remember, Bill is very into, on page 61, he's very into us being the actor, being the director, right? I'm going to get what I want from you by being nice, 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 kiss ass, phony, sweet, or I'm going to get from you by being angry and manipulative and dishonest, right? And selfish and self-centered. But I'm going to get from you what I think that I need from you. So I am the actor being the director, but I turn out to be the producer of confusion. But right now we're going to stay that I'm the actor being the director, okay? Because it's very important when I do the third column that I do it from that, because I need to see what my life could be like relying on something that I've always been, other than what I've always relied on. I need to rely on something that will take me beyond where I am, no matter if I have time or I'm brand new. Everything right now in Tyla's life, right where I am, is with how much power I have from God today. If I want anything in my life to change, I have to go for more power. And a lot of that times that means getting rid of the things that are blocking me from this power. The power is there. It's not from God to me. It's from me to God. You just walk down the street one day, or you just get in your car. And I know you guys can relate. You get in your car and you just are driving down the freeway. You're all cool. And someone just cuts you off really nasty. Watch what you're thinking about. You're not thinking about peaceful thoughts. You're thinking about that dirty so-and-so in that car that cut you off. And you might even be chasing them down the freeway, right? And you might even have to give them the nasty stink eye look, you know, when you pass them by. I know none of you guys do it, but I've wanted to do it. I'm way better at it than I used to be. But we have to see that when we get those resentments, it just steals our life. Those resentments can steal my joy, my life, my peace. They can steal it for an hour, or they can steal it for a lifetime. Okay. And some of you are going to see that in this inventory process. Some of you are going to steal how many years that you've had these resentments. Okay. So I want to go over the third column with you in the book before I teach you how to do it, which I haven't done with people before, but I feel like I want to do it this time, and I trust how I'm guided. I'm not going to go over the example here because we don't write it like this example, because one of the things is we write an extended third column, and any inventory that does not prove that paragraph on page 62, driven selfishness and self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our trouble, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate, seemingly without provocation, which means I did nothing. But I invariably find that at some time I made decisions based on self, which put me in a position to be hurt. That paragraph must be proven. And I never did an inventory in my life where that paragraph was proven. And I did checklists. I did all kinds of ways in inventory, but I never really got moved. I never really understood how my troubles are of my own making. I never saw how I made decisions based on self. I never saw how selfishness and self-centeredness was there, and how fear and delusion drove it in the fourth column. I never saw the roles I play in the third column. I never saw it. This was so life-changing to me, and it is every time I do it. So I want to go with you and follow me on the bottom of page 65. After this is real, we have what we have written so far, but I want to read the bottom where it says, we went back through our lives. That means we went back through our lives when we made the first column list. We went back through our lives from now and back, or we went back and forward, however would you feel guided to do it. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. Have I been thorough, and have I been honest about that first column list? When we were finished, we considered it carefully, the first and second column, and some of the third column, but I'm going to do it now because I think it'll be helpful to you. The first thing apparent was that the world, this world and its people were often quite wrong, column two. That's why we love writing column two. They did it to me, they're the dirty so-and-so, and if they don't change, I won't be okay. The world and their people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us, column two, and we stayed sore, column three. Sometimes it was remorse, and then we were sore at ourselves. Does that mean we put ourselves on the resentment inventory? If you feel that God has told you to do that, you do that. But the more we thought, the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. So what are they trying to tell me in this paragraph? We're going to see, I want to continue to say that person in column one did this to me. They did this to me and they're wrong and they're saying here, well, yeah, they're wrong. Those people in column one are wrong, but maybe I'm wrong too. Maybe we're both wrong. See, I think if I'm wrong, they're right. No, maybe we're both wrong. Maybe we both saw it cuckoo. It's telling me, right? As in war, the victor only seems to win. The reason they continue to wrong me is I continue to go back to them trying to change them. You ever been in a relationship where you just know if your partner did what you think they're supposed to do, you'd have a great relationship? And how many times that you're trying to run back there and manipulate them and get them to do what you want and they continue to hurt you? Well, that's why, because I continue to go back trying to change them, thinking I know better than God. I've done it. Oh God, have I done it. Okay, here we go. I'm sorry, I have so much writing in this, it takes me a minute to find right. Is it plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility? Futility is uselessness and unhappiness. It may not be clear to you now, but it will be clear to you by the time that you fifth step and you finish writing this. To the precise extent that I permit these. Oh, now I permit these resentments. Oh, that's really interesting. Now it's not just something that falls out of heaven onto my head and I can't be free of it. Oh, no, no. Book says I permit them. Oh, no, I'm a victim. I don't permit them. Uh-uh. It happens to me. I'm a victim. Oh boy, have I heard that one. If you think you're a victim, you better put victim in the first column because I hope you resent it because it's a terrible way to live. Okay, I permit these. To the extent that I'm unwilling to be free and let go and let God take it from me of these resentments, do I squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? Squander means deliberate waste. I squander my spirit. I deliberately waste the hours that might have been worthwhile. And I'm going to tell you guys, next to every resentment, I want you to put how many years you've had it. Next to the cause, I want you to put how many years you've had that resentment. And look at the hours that have been squandered that might have been worthwhile. You think they wouldn't have been worthwhile because you haven't let go of it. You've been chewing on that dog bone. You know, you ever see a dog? You give a dog bone. Boop. He goes out to the yard. He digs up a big hole, puts the dog bone in it, covers it back up, takes off, right? Then the next day, whoop, he's out there digging up the dog bone again, right? Takes off with it. Then the next day, puts it back in the hole, covers it up. Then the next day, he goes, I'm like that with my resentments. Oh, I'm over. I bury it. Gone. Then the next day, oh, I dig it up and I'm running and telling everyone about it. So I'm permitting these because sometimes we just like them. We just like those damn dog bones. But Fernando's laughing. I'm laughing too, Fernando. But sometimes we just like those damn dog bones and I can't afford it. I cannot afford it because it blocks me off from you, from myself, and from God. To the extent I permit these, do I squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? But with the alcoholics, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience. Is that your hope? When I'm working with people that have been around, I say to them, is that your hope, Fernando? Is that your hope, Mariana? The growth and maintenance of a spiritual experience? Don't tell me it's your hope if you're not doing 10 and 11 and working with others, because it ain't your hope. because you're not working the fucking program. So I'm sorry to cuss, but I had just had to say it because these people are just full of bullshit up to their ears. When I'm talking to them and they're telling me this, oh yeah, my hope is maybe to grow the spirit of spirit. But they don't work the damn program. That's bullshit. And you got to quit bullshitting yourself. This is an honest program. And you know what? We have to start being honest and start working the program that's going to change our lives. Okay. This business of resentment is infinitely grave, infinitely, never endingly grave. And it will put you in the grave and you will be the rot walking dead. You will be the walking dead, getting up in the middle of the night out of your grave and walking around and wondering what the hell's wrong with you, but you're not working with others. We found that it's fatal. Oh yeah, it kills you. It's fatal because you're blocked off from the only power that'll save you. For when harboring these feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. Okay, when I'm harboring these feelings, I shut myself off from the sunlight of the spirit. I cannot harbor resentments. You know, you go down, RJ better be on here. You know, you go down to the boat docks and you see all those boats in the harbor, right? And all those boats are tied to the docks, right? They're telling me, I cannot tie those resentments to the dock of my soul. And that's what I do. Doesn't mean I can't get angry, but I can't stay angry. And I can't tie it to my soul. And oh, you guys have lots of resentments you've tied to your soul and you ain't never letting go of them. Well, I hope that you see through doing this work with Joe and I that you are willing to be free. Because until you're free, you don't know what it's like to be free because you've never been free. And I can tell you that because I was never free until I did this work. And it took me times of doing it before I got really free and I was willing to write inventory on that undercover cop I lived with that tried to kill me 4 times, and I'm completely free. And I'll tell you all about it later on. So stay tuned. Okay, here we go. So we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit when we harbor these resentments. The insanity of alcohol returns and we drink or use again. Remember, insanity comes before the mental obsession. When I'm crazy enough, shut off enough resentment, and I am spun in the spiritual malady, it will create a situation inside of me that insanity can return. Maybe it won't. Maybe the grace of God will save me, but could it? Maybe not. Because we've gone from the grace of God to conscious contact, and the grace of God is there, but I'm not going to say he's telling me. God, I believe God's telling me, work your program. So I can get screwed up enough, insane and screwed up in the spiritual malady, resentful enough that insanity returns. And when insanity returns, then the mental obsession returns. And then I can pick up. And then I will pick up. Because remember, the bottom line of step one is not that I can't drink. The bottom line of step one is I will drink. If something doesn't come between me and alcohol and give me a defense, right? From picking up. And now it's telling me these resentments are blocking me from the only thing that's going to give me that defense. Okay. And with us, to drink is to die. Do I believe that? If we were to live, bottom of 66, if we were to live, do we want to live? I want to live. We had to be free of anger. Do I believe that? I believe that. The grouch, anger, and the brainstorm. A brainstorm is a fit of insanity. a brainstorm is a tantrum, a fit of insanity. And I still can have them now and then. Brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. Do I believe that? So let's look at some of the words they use for resentment, okay? In this short page, okay? Resentment, infinitely grave. Fatal, kills, poison, unhappiness, shut out from the sunlight of the spirit, insanity, puts me in the grave. Oh, I said that one. Okay. I think they're pretty serious about what resentment does. We turn back, these things are poison. We turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look for it instead of at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that this world and its people really dominated us. You'll be seeing this in your inventory. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had the power to actually kill. And that's where we're stopping, because Joe's going to go over it and pick it up from the bottom there. So the world and its people really dominated me, and you're going to see this. So now we're going to go back, and we're going to, what I want you to do, if you would you pick up your example packet on Mr. Brown? Okay. I'm going to read it, and I want to show you how we're going to look at it. Mr. Brown, I resent Mr. Brown, his attention to my wife, told my wife and my mistress may get my job at the office. The target, which sums that up, is he's after my wife and my job. Now, I'm Bill W. Just think of me as Bill W. right now, and I'm mad at Mr. Brown. And what I do is I have to put myself in the director's chair in a theater. When you write the third column, it is from this perspective. This is Dan Sherman 101, who wrote The Big Book Awakening, who I worked with for 14 years. This is exactly how he taught me, and it is the best. I have to have the right perspective. So I'm Bill W. I'm in the director's chair in the theater, and up there on stage, I'm up there, Bill W. with Mr. Brown. Okay, and I say to myself, this has gone on between me and Mr. Brown. And I say, self-esteem, how I see or feel about myself, the role I've assigned myself. And I look up there on stage and I say, what's the role I assign myself in this interaction with Mr. Brown? I am a good person, a good husband, and a good worker. The fear, let the third column reveal the fear. The fear is not good enough. Okay, it's that simple. Self-esteem and pride are the opposite sides of the same coin. Self-esteem is the role I assign me, and pride is the role I assign you. So I look up there on stage from the director's chair, and I ask myself, what is the role that I have assigned Mr. Brown? How I think others see me or feel about me? The reason Mr. Brown's name isn't in there, because it wouldn't matter who's in the first column. This is my inventory. It could be Mr. Jones in it. It wouldn't matter. This is my inventory. That's why we say others can, others should. Okay. So when I look up on stage and I'm up there as I'm Bill W. and I'm looking up on stage, and up on stage is me and Mr. Brown. And I say, what is the role I assign Mr. Brown? How do I want Mr. Brown and others to see me? No one should want to take advantage of me. Mr. Brown's taking advantage of me, attention to my wife, told my wife and my mistress, he's taking advantage of me. No one should take advantage of me. And what's the fear? Taking advantage of. Okay, it's that easy. Now we're gonna go to ambition. Ambition is what I want to happen externally, and security is what I need to happen internally. They're the opposite sides of a coin also. One is external and one is internal. Ambition is external. Security is internal. I look up on stage and I say to myself, this has gone on between me and Mr. Brown. What do I want? I want the respect of others. Okay. What's the fear? Not respected. And then I look up on stage and I'm up there with Mr. Brown and I say to myself, what do I need in the deepest part of myself to be okay? Insecurity. I need to not be challenged to be okay. And the fear is losing. Okay? That's all we're doing. It's the first four. Does anyone want to write one? You guys can all unmute if you're going to keep down any noise, because that way you can participate more, because I want you to be able to. Does anyone want to write one of theirs so people can hear? Does anyone have any questions?
Tyler, I have a question.
So sure, baby.
On the director's chair on self-esteem and pride. So are we doing the same thing with self-esteem? Is that external and then pride
no,
internal?
No. Yeah, that's a good question. No, self-esteem is the role I assign me, and self and pride is the role I assign the person that's with me.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, honey. Does anyone have any questions about any of this? And does anyone want to write one? I want you to use the example packet was made for exactly this reason, so that when you're doing this, you can go into the example packet and it will help you understand and be able to, it may inspire you or may help you see something you're not seeing. When I was first writing inventory this way, I would go into the sample packet all the time because I had a hard time.
I have one I could write if you want me to, Tyler.
Sure, I'd love that. And then I want the group to follow because this is going to help. I mean, I want you to hear me work with Marie because this is going to help you do it and be able to do it yourself. And it may sound like a math class when you're hearing me do it. You have to write it to really understand it, and you don't have to be good at it. You will get it, because I was not good at it when I started it, but it worked and it changed my life. Okay, so Marie's going to write one, and I'm going to show you how I work with people and how you can work with yourself on it. Okay, go on, baby. Who's in the first column?
It's my cousin, the cause is for listening to gossip from my sister and judging me because of that. Gossiped about me, judged me based on a lie.
Okay, good. Okay, so when you're going to put yourself in the director's chair and you're going to look on the stage in your mind that, and you're up on stage with you and your cousin. This has gone on between you, what happened in the second column. Who are you? I am.
Who I am a woman that should not be gossiped about.
Put it down. And what's the fear, Marie? Judged?
Yep. And I guess I wanted to put, I am a loving woman.
I only put one.
Okay. I meant put it in the word in there, but I'll just keep it. I am a woman.
Keep it. Sometimes we have to be careful that you're not building a case that you can't surmount.
That's what I was doing.
Keep it simple. Remember, the book says on 64, fact finding and fact facing.
Yeah.
Just the facts. Okay. So when you look up on stage, you're in the director's chair, you're up there with your cousin. How do you want your cousin and others to see you?
That I am a trustworthy person.
Okay, others can see I'm a trustworthy person. That's perfect. Others can see I'm a trustworthy person.
Okay.
What did Sophia Marie? Untrustworthy?
Yeah. Fear of, not being trusted.
Okay.
Well, or not being liked?
Unliked.
Okay.
Okay, now we're going to go to ambition. When you look up on stage and you're up there with your cousin, this has gone on between you. She's gossiped about you and said things in column two. What do you want? I want.
I want her to stop gossiping about me.
Go
ahead, Tyler.
I was going to say, do you want her to stop gossiping and apologize? Or do you want her to stop gossiping?
Well, apology would be nice, but.
This is your script. You're playing God. What do you want?
Okay, I want her. Well, I want her to see the real me. I want her, I don't know.
Yeah, put it down. I want her to see the real me.
That's good. I like that.
Thank you.
What's the fear? The
fear is being alone.
Okay.
Or being unloved, I guess, or alone.
Rejected, disliked?
Rejected.
Okay. Okay, good one. Okay, now, when you look up on stage, you're up there with your cousin, this has gone on, in the deepest part of who you are, what do you need to be okay? You can tell me and I can put it into a statement for you, because that will,
okay.
In the beginning, it's kind of awkward, you guys, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. you'll learn by watching this that you say it in your head, like what you really feel, and then you'll be able to put it into a sentence that fits in. Go on.
Okay, so.
I want to drag her behind a car. Yeah, Dee's liking that one. She's going, to go, yeah. Girl. Oh. Yeah. You can put it. No, just kidding. But you can put it.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
That's awesome, Tyler.
Well, that's the way you feel sometimes. You can put it down.
Honestly.
Well, I mean,
what do you need in the deepest?
I want to wipe that smug look off her face, that judgmental look off her face.
Well, that's in ambition. Put it down. I want to wipe that smug look off her face. A minute ago, you wanted her to love you. You know, wonder we're nuts. Jeez. Right, Dee? You heard her say she wanted her to love her. You heard it.
I know. Okay, security. What I need to be okay.
In the deepest part of who you are.
I need...
Picture you and her up there on stage. This has gone on. What do you need?
I need her to...
I'm going to be her. I'm going to be on stage. I'm her. Marie, what do you need from me?
I just need for you to be kind to me.
That's it. Write it down. I need people to be kind to me to be okay. Good job. Okay. Who would like to write one?
I do. My name's Dee.
Let's go, Dee. Go on, baby. Let's go.
I want to still stay with God. And
okay.
God is who I'm resentful at, because he killed my daughter, Rihanna, and sleeping in the car when I was approximately, I think, like 7 or 8, somewhere in the timeline. Self-esteem is that how I feel about myself. I'm a good mom.
Write it down. Did you write this already?
Part of it, yeah.
No, go. It's fine. That was good. Okay. I'm a good mom. What's the fear, baby?
The fear is actually that I was bad.
I'm a bad mom.
Bad mom.
Okay.
And then for the car part, I didn't, because I didn't understand. I didn't understand why my mom did that.
You don't have to put it down. Just put down what you understand, okay?
Okay.
So pride, what did you put down for pride?
For pride, it was a little bit longer, and it said, it says no one should tell me how to grieve, because I still grieve.
I think that's great.
It says no one should tell me how to grieve. It should take to get through my grieving process the right way, because this is how I'm right still doing it.
What's the fear, sweetheart?
The fear is it will never go away.
That's great. I mean, it's not great for that, but it's great that you really understood it and you wrote something that really is meaningful to you?
The ambition is I wanted Rihanna to live and to grow into a beautiful Black woman. And then for the second part, the car part, I wrote, I wanted a home. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you said stop at the four.
Okay. No, 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 stop at security.
Oh, okay. And security is, I need release of bondage of pain. That's what I need. This pain that I'm in, I need release of that pain. And I can only get that through higher power.
You can get it. I don't know that it ever goes away, that kind of pain, but yeah, you can get it.
Yeah, I don't think that the pain itself is going to go away, but I think that higher power and going to him and mm-hmm. on a daily basis will end up helping me and, you know, yes, deal with it more better.
That's right.
And then I put the agonizing memories of her death. That's what I can. It's hard. And then sponsor helped me with some other things that will later come out, you know.
That's
and
great.
So, so yeah, that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, honey, for sharing that. I'm so sorry you went through that. It's terrible. But
it's helpful because BBA is helping me to talk
right.
about this.
So that's good. Why I'm so like glad. I'm so glad you're talking about it. Love you, baby. Who would like to do one?
I'll go.
Okay.
Donna, did you want to go?
We can't hear you, Donna, baby.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right.
Would you like to do one?
Okay, I tried to use my Bluetooth. I can't really hear you, but you can hear me.
Can you hear me, Marie?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello?
Can you hear me, honey?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, great.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I have a resentment towards drivers.
Okay.
They're inconsiderate of cyclists.
Okay.
How does it affect my self-esteem? I am a responsible cyclist and obey the laws. My fear mm-hmm. is being disrespected.
Good.
My pride, I love writing the pride one. Drivers should be concerned about my safety and not be selfish and double park whenever and wherever they want. And that's sometimes how I'm fucking driving, riding my bike.
Mm-hmm.
My fear is being hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
My ambition, I want to drive safe. I mean, I want to ride
safe. You want others to drive safe?
I want to be safe because I don't feel safe.
Okay,
when
I want to be safe.
Double park.
Okay, got it.
I want to be safe, and my fear is being unsafe on my
okay.
bike.
Good.
Security. I need to be at peace and not worry about my life when riding my bike, and my fear is being nervous and uneasy riding.
Great. That was great. That was great.
That's a big resentment. Trust me.
You live in New York City, don't you?
I do.
What the hell? You think anything's going to change in New York City? You better change. You got to change.
Exactly.
New York City? Whoa, brother. Oh, God. That's a hard one, isn't it? They're crazy there. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Who would like to write one? Is there any men that would like to write one?
I'll go.
Yeah.
Is that Dylan?
Yes.
Awesome, baby. Let's rock and roll.
This one's my mom, the cause, irresponsible parent, selfish, does not follow through on her word, did drugs with me when I was a kid, went to prison, won't quit using drugs. The target sentence is self-absorbed and has not gotten her shit together.
Okay, so look up there on, did you already write the first four?
No.
Okay, good. Let's write them. Look up there on stage. You're up there with your mom. You're in the director's chair. This has gone on. Who are you?
I'm her baby boy.
Perfect. Write it. I'm her baby boy. Can I make a suggestion of the fear?
Sure.
It may be discarded. You may feel discarded by the way
she's... I was going to say I'm not her baby boy, so...
That's fine, yeah. If you want to, but I...
That's well, fine. That's basically what discarded is, so same thing.
I have felt that way with the way people treated me before. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at pride. You're in the director's chair, Dylan. This has gone on. And to me, the most important focus is the drugs and her addiction. This has gone on. You're looking at you and her up there on stage. And how
no one
do you
should
want...
do drugs with their children.
Perfect. Great.
Fear.
I think the fear is abused. I think doing drugs with kids is abuse. What do you think? And I know there's people on here that did drugs with their kids, and I'm not saying that you were horrible, any of you.
I would say neglected.
What? Neglected. Perfect. I think it's a little deeper than neglected, but okay. Vanessa's laughing. Isn't it, Vanessa? I mean, but it's okay. Put what works for you. What do you want, Dylan, when you look up there on stage? What do you want?
I want my mom to be okay.
Or you want your mom to be your mom? To be okay and be my mom?
Yeah.
I want my mom to be okay and be my mom. Is the fear hopeless?
Yeah,
I think I would feel that way too. Honey, in the deepest part of who you are, when you look up on stage and your mom's up there and you're up there and she's doing her drugs, doing her stuff, what do you need in the deepest part of who you are to be okay? Do you need to know someday she'll be clean and be my mom?
Yeah.
To be okay? Someday that she'll be clean and be my mom again. We all want to adopt you. All the mothers on here.
Yes,
Ellen
we
wants
do.
To adopt you already.
You can be my little boy, Dylan.
I don't, Dylan. I don't want
to. I said all the women want to adopt him. All the
mothers.
You already adopted mothers. Me, Joe. Stop it.
That was so good, Dylan.
So, fear.
Of what? Which
so,
fear?
The fear of where? Security. So I need my mom to be a
hope. This.
I need my mom to be clean and to be my mom again. Fear abandoned.
Good. That's good. Fear abandoned.
Thanks, Tyla.
That was great. very painful. I'm so sorry. Sometimes you hear stuff, you know, and that's why we really do heal two by two on this journey. When I hear a fifth step, and don't you see this too, Vanessa? When I hear a fifth step, I also get healing when I hear one. When people, I've heard people, Joe and I were talking about it, I've heard people say, listening to fifth steps are boring. I don't know what planet those people are on, because I love to hear fifth steps. And to me, I find so much healing in them, hearing them also. That's beautiful. Who would like to do one?
I'll do one.
Okay.
Can I do a self-defeating one?
We're not gonna, the reason, let's do a self-defeating one. Let me just get I didn't go over the self-defeating one with everyone because it's so self-explanatory. It's much easier. Let me just get it up here on my computer. Okay, honey. So I hope everyone has a copy of the self-defeating belief inventory. And is that Helen?
Yeah, I can do the
I want you to do it. I want you to do it. What's your self-defeating belief?
I'm not wanted,
mm-hmm.
worthy, or good enough.
Okay.
Column two, the cause. Why do I have this belief? Who told me this? What happened in my past? My biological father, my stepfather, conceived in affair. Conceived in an affair and was rejected by both men.
Okay. I'm not sure I understood that. Did you understand that, Vanessa? Can you say that again?
Okay. Why do I have this belief? Because I was conceived in an affair.
Oh, got it. Okay. That got it, baby. Got it. Okay.
Okay. How does this belief make me feel about myself? I'm not lovable, gives me low self-esteem.
Let me just tell them, that's self-esteem and the self-defeating belief. Go on, honey.
Okay.
How does this belief make you feel about yourself?
That I'm not lovable, gives me low self-esteem, feelings of rejection.
Okay, and what's the fear? Rejection?
Rejection.
Okay. Pride.
How does this belief affect how I think people see me? Needy, gullible, usable, dismissible.
The fear, baby.
Of being taken advantage of, manipulated.
Okay.
Ambition. Who do I want to be? I want to be loved, accepted. What do I want to do? I want to give love without being afraid of being accepted. The fear is rejection.
Okay.
Security. What do I want or need to be secure in? I want, need to be in a healthy, loving, non-abusive relationship with myself. Fear is being abused, taken advantage of.
That's great.
Tyler, can I ask a question about that? I'm sorry.
Yes, honey, go on. Yeah, sure, Vanessa.
I'm a little bit confused about that one, only because if we're writing from a place of high self-esteem.
Not in the self-defeating beliefs.
Okay. Mm-mm. Okay.
Self-defeating beliefs, and I don't believe also in resentment inventory anymore. That's one place that I part with a lot of the people. I believe you can have low self-esteem and a resentment. If you listen to Bob O in Grass Valley, if you've ever listened to him, he's the one that originated self-defeating belief.
Yeah.
And Bob O talks about low self-esteem in resentment inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea was that if I really had low self-esteem, I wouldn't have a resentment against you. And that's not true.
But it's both ego. They're both ego, though. High and low.
It doesn't matter, though, because the book doesn't describe ego, so I don't get into that being both ego. To me, I don't. And this didn't come till years later.
Okay.
After doing it for so long, I started to say, wait a minute, this is just not true, because I would have one where I was low self-esteem and had a resentment, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to write truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's helpful. Because people ask about that kind of thing when you're going through. Mm-mm. So it's really helpful for me. Sorry, I'm taking up the time, but I just wanted to.
No. This is a great question.
Yeah, it's helpful to me to hear how you answer. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, if I'm working with someone and it's continually low, low, low self-esteem, right? Right. I may tell them they're all not like that. And I may put victim in the resentment, because sometimes people have such a victim mentality from what has been done to them, right? That it can skew their whole life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it is, and they can get free, they can get free doing this inventory. So what I may do is in self-esteem, I may have them write from high self-esteem and low. If they're all hitting low, I may have them do both so that they find a better balance. Does that make sense?
It does, because I think sometimes we think we're being low self-esteem, but we're actually clinging to something and holding on to it in a high self-esteem way. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Like that can happen too. So I like how you put that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah. Who has a question?
Just Marie? Bob O, where do I listen to that?
Bob O, there's Natasha. Natasha's at the hockey game. Woo! She's a mom at the hockey game. Isn't that just awesome? I just love that. Right, right, Ryan? We support moms and dads.
That's right.
Where are you, baby? What did you want me to, where's
Bob-O?
I
want to know where.
Bob-O, you can put into your phone in the, the little search thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You put in there. You got to put it in like this. Bob-O. AA speaker, Grass Valley.
Okay.
I think Vanessa just put it in. And I think it is the fourth. This is a six-part series that he did over a weekend. And I think it's the fourth recording. And he talks about principle inventory, self-defeating beliefs.
Wonderful. Okay. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. He's great. I mean, this is his whole thing. And he was also sponsored by Don Fritz, who sponsored Joe Hawk and Mark Houston. So they're all in that family out of Denver.
Got it.
Tyler, it's Mariana. Could you go over the security again and the self-defeating beliefs, please?
You want me to go over it?
Yeah, just the, like,
what is it?
What it
says?
Yeah.
The security says, what do I want or need to be secure in? How does this belief affect those things I want to be secure in? Physically and or emotionally. I wanted to say this to you guys. Don't get too caught up in it having to be perfect and in the exact right line and all of that. Because if you don't get it perfect and it shows up somewhere else, okay, it'll all work out okay, especially when you're doing it the first time. I would love to hear Kylie share a few minutes on her experience with this.
Yay.
And how it helped you.
All right, alcoholic and drug addict, Kylie.
Hi, Kylie.
The first thing I want to say, just acknowledge like how hard this is. And for all of you who are just doing this on the spot and like so many painful things, and we wouldn't be doing it if there wasn't so much freedom on the other side of it. I've seen women that I've taken through 4 and 5 just really, really struggle throughout the process and then be a completely person on the other side of it. So I just really wanted to present that. Tyler, in the beginning of you sharing tonight, you talked about how if we're disconnected from God's kids, we're disconnected from God. I think that's the most valuable thing that I got from doing these inventories. I didn't know, you know, like I came in here so spiritually arrogant. You know, I feel like I was the most arrogant person I've ever met in my life.
You weren't, trust me. And you weren't that arrogant. I didn't see you that way at all.
Well, yeah, I felt like I was, and like, thank you for that.
But I didn't see that.
Well, thank you. But I just feel like I saw the world in such a way that like my chip on my shoulder, I felt really justified in having it. So, you know, when I wrote the first time I did inventory, I wrote 25 of them and I had 50 that I wanted to do, but my sponsor wouldn't let me. And I'm sure Tyler will get into that or has already mentioned it, but I had 50. And I remember my sponsor saying, do you even know what a resentment is? And I was like, what, you know? And she was like, you have to be really, really, really mad about it. And I was like, yeah, I am, you know, all 50 of these people and institutions, like, and I didn't understand, like, I didn't see my part in it at all. And I actually found that it was so helpful that it breaks it down. I know we covered 4 of the areas of self tonight, and there's 7 that we really go through. And I found it so helpful that the book and that the way we do this work, it like breaks it down into those 7 parts. Cause that's when I really started to see like the security just really shocked me, you know, when I was writing and I was like, I need this person to be this way to be okay. And I need this person to never do that. Okay, and I need him to do this. I remember it just shocked me. I was like, God, I'm so manipulative and controlling. Like I need people to do all these things. And guess what? I'm still not okay when they do them. That's the truth there. You know, like I'm a good manipulator, so I could get you to do something without knowing I was manipulating you. And I'm still not okay. You know, I'm still not okay. Because my okayness has to come from God, you know, and I'll just share this one example and then I'll be quiet. But I had this chiropractor who was like, he was a network chiropractor. They do a lot of energy work with your spine. And he was one of the first male people that I ever really trusted in my life. And he was also a coach. And so he was my coach and he was my chiropractor. And he was this really cool guy. He's a genius. And so what happened after I went into his office for 2 years, he fell in love with this girl and I could see, I was like, this girl is going to drag him out of his practice and drag him out of the country. And I knew it was going to happen and it happened. And I was so upset and I was so angry and I wrote inventory on it. And I just remember being like, I need Matt to still be a doctor to be okay. You know, cause he gave up his license. I was like, I need him to stay in San Diego to be okay. I need him to still be my chiropractor. I was like, it went on. And I cried and I was angry and I felt so abandoned and so betrayed. But I wrote inventory and I read it to, actually, I think this one I did with Jan and Steve, that was my last 5th step, was in a group with Jan and Steve. And like, it's not about just seeing how ridiculous it is though. It's also just about like letting God take it in 6 and 7 and letting somebody hear it. And Matt actually came back to San Diego. I'm friends with him again. I went back to his office, but like, I don't have this like, oh my God, feeling about, I just like, cool, I'm glad you're back. It's great to see you, you know, but there's not this like need for him to be anyway. Like he could leave again tomorrow and that would be okay too, you know? And this is just like one example of something that I didn't really, would have never thought about until I put it on paper. You know, I just never would have thought about it. I'm doing these kind of things all day long, you know, running these little stories in my head. And so putting it on paper and then reading it and then taking it through, you know, the rest of the steps, essentially, that really changed my life. And this sense of like needing all these things from all these other people, I just don't have it anymore. I thought I needed my dad to apologize for all the things he did to me to be okay. As one of my mentors say, like, that ship has sailed, Kylie, like, that's not happening. So I just called him earlier and just was talking to him about football because he really likes football. And I was like, I can connect with my dad and I don't need him to apologize to me and I don't need him to be deep and I don't need him to be emotionally present and I don't need him to be introspective and all these things I wanted him to be. Like, I can just connect with him where he's at and that's okay today. So this is a really cool process. And again, like everyone who's, you know, putting yourself in the fire tonight, there's a reason for it. And I'm really proud of all of you that just put yourselves out there, because that would scare me to do that in front of a group. So thank you for letting me share. And thank you, Tyler, for that, for asking.
Oh, thank you for sharing. But you know, when you share the freedom you have around your dad, right? Yeah. I don't know that it would have happened if you didn't write inventory.
Oh, no way. I wrote inventory my dad 3 times.
I know you did. I know. Yeah. So that's what it
is. I think he's so cute. Good. I'm like, that's just how he is. You know, who cares?
Yeah. He's just, you see? Who would like to thank you, Kylie, so much? Who would, Mariana, did you have a question, sweetheart?
I had asked about the security.
Mm-hmm.
So you answered it. It's good. It's good. Shall I do a resentment on my mom?
Should you do? Didn't we do the one on your mom?
Yeah. Do you want me to read it out?
Yeah, I'd love you to read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm resentful at my mom. I've had it for 50 years at least.
Yeah. You guys need to write the amount of time you've had your resentments. Mariana just said she's had it 50 years.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. And the cause is that she hit me and she didn't hit my brothers and sisters. And it was the way that she hit me. And I never felt good enough. I felt worthless and punished because of that, that my best was never good enough. And the target, I think, is that she hit me and I have no value and no worth. So how I see myself about myself, the role that I've assigned myself is that I'm a loving daughter. And my fear is that I'm not good enough. And my pride is that others should see me, that I am valuable and treat me as valuable. And my fear is that I'm not valued. My ambition is that I want my mother to show me that she loved me and to admit that she was wrong. And my fear is that I was unloved and disregarded. And my security is that I need to know that my mum loves me and that her lack of love doesn't define who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And my fear is that I've never been loved and I've always been unwanted and rejection.
That's so good. That is so good. Thank you, Mariana. That was so good. Okay, anyone else like to do one?
Yeah, I like to do one.
Okay, Norma.
Yes. I'm Norma, alcoholic and addict. An employer of mine, he was a pastor, I was a church secretary. And I have this resentment for 4 years.
Okay.
He was not supportive, didn't stand up for me. I was also a volunteer, must I say. And I was a new member. It was hard for me to fit in. He actually added more trouble. And I was treated unfair. So...
That's the cause?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to go over the cause with you before we write anything, because the cause, the actual cause that you resent him for, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You wrote some other things that really you couldn't resent him for. You need to take those out. So let's go over them one by one, because it needs to be fact finding and fact facing, and it will help you be more clear and help you not build a wall of a story that you can't surmount. So give me the first thing you wrote that you resent about him.
Was not supportive and didn't stand up for me.
That's really the resentment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the rest
everything else isn't
really pertain to that. So get rid of the rest.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
He's unsupportive and he didn't stand up for me. Let's write on that. Okay, honey.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Okay. So when you put yourself in the director's chair, you're in the theater, you're up on stage with this pastor. This has gone on. He didn't stand up for you and he wasn't supportive. What's the role you assign yourself? Who are you? I am.
I am a smart woman and a good worker.
Perfect. Put it down. Write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Did you write it down?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's what you I did had. Good. Okay, baby. What's the fear?
The fear is I was not good enough.
Perfect. Okay. Now, when you look up on stage and you're up there with this pastor and this has gone on, how do you want him and other people to see you for pride?
They should think that I am intelligent.
They should think that you are what?
Intelligent.
Good. They should think I'm intelligent. What's the fear?
Not being valued.
Good. Great. Okay. Now, when you look up on stage and you're in the director's chair, okay, and you're up there with the pastor, what do you want? This has gone on between you and him. He hasn't been supportive. He hasn't stood up for you. What do you want? I want.
I want to be valued as a part of the team.
Beautiful. And what's the fear?
Ashamed to talk or being ridiculed.
Great. God, Norma, you're doing great. Okay. When you look up on stage in your mind's eye and you're up there with a pastor, this has gone on. What do you need in the deepest part of who you are to be okay?
I need him to say that he is sorry that he warped my image and didn't support me.
Good. To be okay. You got to put to be okay. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And what's the fear?
Rejection and losing a friend.
That was so good. You did so good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Would someone else like to write one? They're the boys. Is RJ there? Any of you guys want to write one? Sober Mafia. I'm so glad you took that name. You are the Sober Mafia. And he's...
Yes,
RJ.
I'm
RJ. RJ is
here. Getting a lot of feedback from you guys. I can't hear you. You guys, I couldn't hear you. It was a lot of feedback. Does any one of you, Sober Mafia, want to write?
I saw Robert raise his hand.
Okay, how's that?
Robert, do you want to write one, honey?
How about RJ?
Yeah, I can.
You don't have to. I want to with the.
No, I'm totally fine.
Joe, why don't you write it with Robert? Joe?
I'm here.
Why don't you write it with Robert?
Okay.
Okay. So the resentment is towards my brother, Chad. So the cause, he acts like he's better than me. He flaunts his money. He's my dad's favorite kid. He hasn't had to struggle like I have. The target statement, golden boy, perfect little rich kid.
Oh, good. That's great.
So sitting in a director's chair, what's the role you've assigned you?
So I'm the best older brother.
Good.
What's the fear?
Not good enough.
Perfect. Now, how the flip of the coin, how should others see or feel about you?
Others should see how good I'm doing in life.
Okay.
Good.
That's good. What's the fear?
Failure.
Okay. Or struggling. Yeah. Good.
Ambition. So
you're sitting in the director's chair again, don't forget. And you're looking at this interaction with you and your brother. Dad's kind of off to the side. You're looking at the whole scene. Now, what do you want to happen here?
I want to be better than him.
Okay.
I love that.
You know, and the fear of not being good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You already used not good enough. Let's try and get another fear.
Inadequate.
Good. Yeah. That works. All right. So ambition was the outside. What I wanted to happen here is I want to be better than him. So what's the deepest part on the inside that you're looking at? Remember, there are two flips of a coin. So on the inside, what's the deepest part that I need to be okay? What do you need here?
You know, acknowledge, right? So I need him to acknowledge. What's that?
Go ahead. Continue.
For him to acknowledge me and my achievements.
Good.
You need him to?
Yes.
So I would just leave him out of it and just put, I need to be acknowledged for my achievements to be okay.
Okay.
Because it doesn't matter if it's him, your boss, your mother, your father, it could be anyone. I know we're talking about him, but we're looking at you. So
yeah,
don't place names on the people in the third column. Because it could be anyone, okay?
Yeah.
So I need to be acknowledged. So what's the fear of opposite of that?
Fear of being overlooked.
Not acknowledged, yes. Overlooked is another word for that. Perfect. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Good deal.
Jill's so good. Does anybody have any questions?
Got one here.
Does anybody have any questions or want to write one?
Ready to go.
What'd you say?
I said RJ's ready to go.
Where's RJ?
I'm right here.
Okay, let me get back to the Sober Mafia.
Yeah, they put me on blast, so whatever.
Okay, honey.
Let's go. I'm going to do my dad because my dad's been on my inventory. See, a lot of this stuff I know for sure, you guys, it stems from childhood stuff, guaranteed. And it's because I have other stuff, but it goes back to my childhood. So I'm putting on my dad, who's no longer, he's been passed away for 10 years. But so my dad, the cause, makes me feel like I'm never good enough.
What does he do that makes you feel like you're never good enough?
Talks down to me, makes me, doesn't pay attention, I don't feel like I'm loved.
You need to put that in the cause.
So that should be the cause, and then the other part's your target statement.
Yeah.
That's what I was just reading. Yeah.
Oh, you were only reading the target?
No, I was reading the cause, so... So you want me to go into self-esteem?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, so self-esteem, I'm the best son that anyone can have.
Good.
Fear of being not good enough and not valued. Pride, no one should want to take advantage of me. Fear of taking advantage of. Ambition, I want the respect of my father, the respect and love of my father. Now, am I supposed to not put my name in there? I heard Joe saying don't.
It's fine.
Not respected, fear of not being respected, not loved. Security, as I put, I need others to see my value as a person. I'm not valued. I don't know if that should be.
That's perfect. You know, how long have you had that resentment?
59 years.
Okay, can you write that next to it somewhere?
I put it on my other one too. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Honey, you can be free of this. You know, the big book is very clear that I put value on hanging on to resentments. And it's very important that we look at why we put this value on hanging on to resentments. Because if you owe me, if I resent you, right, you owe me. And if you owe me, you own me. And the key for me has been, when they're really strong and heavy like that one is, and we'll talk more about it. The key for me is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And it does come from this, and we will have Jose doing a thing on it, and we will do some different things on forgiveness just in the homework on resentment inventory that you guys haven't done before. Because the key is we have to get free. And one of the things is that prayer, Joe will work on it next week with us. We can get free. And I'm so glad you wrote on it and shared it. Anyone else have one?
I have one, Taylor.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Sorry, can you hear me?
Who is this?
It's Lisa.
Oh, hi, honey. Yeah, I'm coming right down. I can hear you perfect. I just wanted to get you on my screen. Yeah, honey, I can hear you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought this when I was gone, but when I asked for what to come to me, came again. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm resentful at my mom. Mm-hmm. She committed suicide when I was young. She gave me her mental illness. She abandoned me. That's what I wrote. Self-esteem. I'm a special daughter.
Good.
Fear is not being lovable,
mm-hmm.
or worthy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Either one, you can write them both. You can write more than one fear.
Others should see I'm important and valuable or lovable.
I think that others should see I'm worth living for.
That's what I first wrote. That's interesting. Yeah. And I erased it. Okay, good. Yeah. No, others should see I'm worth living for.
Because that's what I would feel if I were you. I mean, I'm just saying it. If you don't feel it, don't say it. But that's what I would feel.
Yeah, no, I felt that.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The fear? Abandon.
Yeah. What I want to have happen, I want her to choose me.
You got one ready, Chris?
Let me see. Oh, this is really getting me.
It's okay, Lisa. I'm glad you're doing it. I want her to choose me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fear might be powerless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I have no power. And this security.
What do you need in the deepest part of who you are to be okay?
I need to know she loved me and that it wasn't my fault.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the fear would be with that. I wasn't unloved. Responsible.
Unloved.
Mm-hmm.
And can you read it again, insecurity?
I need to know she loved me and it wasn't my fault.
I think set free. Fear of bondage.
Okay. Thank you.
That was powerful.
Thank you.
Powerful.
Thanks.
Lisa, thank you. Thank you. You know, when I've done workshops in the past and done groups and there are people here that have been in them, this open sharing, like Kylie said, you know, it gets very powerful. You just, sometimes you walk out of there and you're like, oh my God, you know, and I so appreciate people being so open and sharing it. Does anyone have any other ones?
Ella?
I have one.
Peanut's been raising her hand.
Peanut has? I haven't seen it. Peanut, she needs to shout out. I know Felicia has her hand up. We'll go a little longer. Peanut, do you want to read one?
Yeah, I would like to. I did have a question also.
Okay, you can just ask a question or you can read whatever you want.
I think just answering the question would help. You know, I think I had mentioned to you, I've just been having a hard time with this round of resentments because really everything comes back to me. So I'm writing on myself and I wasn't sure, do I do just the regular resentment inventory on myself or should I break it up into self-defeating beliefs? Because ultimately that's what a lot of them are. There are a couple that are actually.
Why do you resent yourself? What are, in a regular resentment, what's the cause of why you resent yourself?
Well, there's one that's a very specific incident, which is that I placed Hudson for adoption with the wrong family. And the rest is sort of involves, you know, lethargy, fat, wasted too much time, not enough money, which those could fall under, you know, the self-defeating belief. So I don't know.
But I think that you may be able to combine those in that I haven't been, the belief is I'm incapable of creating a successful, enjoyable life. Right. You may be able to combine that into one belief because the Hudson one should be a resentment to yourself. That's not a belief. Okay. You put yourself in the first column and the cause is putting your son up for adoption, which, you know, I know all about that. And, you know, and I know this is a really hard one, but put that one separate. And I know Natasha is working with you and she can help you on it. Try to combine that cause on the rest of them into one belief that covers it. Because I think that will be stronger and more powerful for you than the little ones. Because I think it's, and I'm happy to help you if you want to call me.
Thank you, Mama Bear.
I love you, baby. Anyone else? Kimberly's my assistant. Kimberly, what's going on here? Yeah.
I was going to
go. Someone, I think Felicia's got one. Felicia, honey?
All right, yeah. Felicia Pollock. So I was just going to read one that I had. It's a new resentment, nice and fresh, about 2 weeks old. And it's a sponsee, ex-sponsee, I guess.
Just don't use her name.
No, of course not. Or maybe I should just set a mentor relationship. I don't know.
Well, no, but that's anyway. Fine. She's fine, honey.
Yeah, it's just one of those relationships, and the relationship ended abruptly in a
Is
way.
Is that the cause?
So that's the cause. Abrupt, unexpected, and in a way I didn't expect. I said there was it create unnecessary chaos, create avoidance, dishonest, just an. Wasn't handled in the way, in an honest, direct way as adults. And that's the gist. And so so basically put the relationship in jeopardy and just in, is the gist. And so for pride, for self-esteem, I said, I am a great sponsor. Okay. And the fear is that I am not valued as a sponsor. I said, no one's for pride is that no one should just suddenly discard me. The fear is that I am, that I'm not regarded. There's no regard, no respect. Belittled. The ambition. I want to help others and make an impact for God. And the fear is that I'm not very useful. And that I waste time.
Oh, Felicia.
The sense of security. Is that I need to feel like my time and energy is being put to good use, both for others and for myself. And the fear is that I'm foolish with time and decisions, and that I may neglect my own children or love others more than myself. So my own neglect.
What's the fear, sweetie?
The fear is that I love others more than myself, to my own neglect, make foolish decisions that are not in my best interest on behalf of others.
That was so good. Very powerful. Thank you for sharing it, honey. We're about out of time, and I'd like to take a few minutes to say a couple things. One is, when Joe said in the third column, we don't put a name, right? We don't, but there are times that I've let people put a name. Sometimes they have had to say, my father, or they've had to say it. I trust your intuition. We're praying and I trust how God guides me. I'm always trying to listen to God with one ear and listen to other people with the other ear. And that becomes a practice. So sometimes you can do that. Most of the time we leave it out so that, because like Joe said, it wouldn't matter who's in the first column, okay? We're going to get to a place where we'll see that we're not this high self-esteem and I'm not this low self-esteem. I'm in the middle, a child of God. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see that the fear next to that third column is what powers those roles in the third column that I think what I need to be okay, how I think you need to see me. This is how I play God. And if I don't see how playing God doesn't work, right? I'm not really going to quit playing God. And even if I do say it doesn't work, it's still hard to quit playing God. But I don't want to play God because it doesn't work, okay? And I have to get to a place of freedom with people that I don't have to, they don't have to change for me to be okay. And that's the real freedom that comes. It doesn't mean it comes all the time, but most of the time I can kind of go back into that and say, oh yeah, they don't have to change for me to be okay, right? And I, when I start getting into it, I don't stay into it as long. So does anyone have any questions? Okay, let me tell you the homework assignment. Joe, do you want to give the homework assignment? You want me to?
Go ahead.
The homework assignment is to finish the first four things. It is assignment 15 in your assignment guide, to finish the first four things in the third column. That's all. That's what we did today. Okay. And you guys, what an amazing group tonight. And I'd like just to take a minute, you know, as we close out, I would really like Jan to close us out with what some of this third column experience meant to him. And then you can lead us in a prayer, Jan, like third step prayer of your choice.
Yeah, for sure. I'd be honored to. My name is Jan. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. I mean, this third column has been really, the extended third column has really been life-changing for me. It's one of the things that I just absolutely love about BBA is how we do this fourth step in this manner that really gets to take a look at what is underlying the spiritual malady, like that, what it is that's driving me to have these self-defeating beliefs and to have these resentments that I'm harboring in my life. And, you know, I've just gotten a lot of freedom, you know, from doing this process. And it really is just, it's all in the process. You know, it's putting the pen to paper, it's sharing it with another person, it's you know, getting vulnerable with another person, and, you know, opening our hearts to God and asking for, just calling out to God for help in these areas of our lives, that I've really started to find such a deep and effective transformation, and really opened me up to starting to feel the presence of God in my life and really recognize the shift that comes about when I take a look at this stuff in this really effective manner. And, you know, every time I do, I shared this last night, every time I do it, I start to uncover something different about myself and I start to get a little bit more free. And, you know, I don't think that they had the self-defeating beliefs worksheet last time I did a fifth step, but I did do some principle inventory. And, you know, it was really freeing for me to look at some of these beliefs that I have, like that I can't be successful in business, you know, and really looking and taking a look at that and finding freedom in that, you know, finding freedom with the people I was doing the work with through prayer. And then God just starts giving me these opportunities and I start to believe in myself. And like, you know, I'm able to believe in myself today more than I ever have in the past. And it's funny, I was actually talking to somebody outside of the program about just things. I asked them what were some things that they liked about themselves, and I shared some things that I liked about myself. And one of the things on the list is that I actually have faith in myself and I believe in myself today. And I really directly credit it to taking a look at this stuff in this extended third column and really getting free from these fears and, you know, just growing in so many different areas. So this process is really life-changing for me. So I'm really stoked on everybody that's here and getting vulnerable, getting honest with themselves and sharing. And, you know, it's promised to us that it's going to come if we keep working towards it. And I do also feel like you can't like do this perfectly, you know, I just mm-hmm. do it and whatever comes to me, mm-hmm. what it feels naturally, like I don't have to think in my head, like, oh, I got to write this the perfect way, you know, I just got to do it. And God will take the reins, you know, I just got to do the footwork. So with that, I guess I'll close this out with the prayer.
Yes.
So I guess we can just, you said third step prayer?
The third step's great.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Oh God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, May I do thy will always.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. We're going to be on for a few minutes. If anyone has any more questions, Jan, thank you for the beautiful share. Thank you.